Well, why don't we begin with prayer? And then hopefully by the time we're done that, people have all been filed in as much as possible here. So let's pray, okay? Our Father in heaven, before we open your word, we ask that for your blessing on it. May you use it in our lives, Lord. May you teach us through it, convict us. May you humble us. May we understand it well. And Lord, may we not forget it, but apply it as we go from this time. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is powerful and that you tell us the truth and that you provide a blessing for those who obey it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So for the next two Sunday schools, I'm going to be teaching. What I did is I teach a midweek Bible study, and we've been going through the book of Proverbs, and so I've been taking various themes from the book of Proverbs, taking all the verses in Proverbs on that theme and putting them together in lessons and teaching them. And so I thought I would take two lessons that I'm doing on communication in Proverbs, how the wise person speaks, what's good communication according to Proverbs. There's a lot of material, and so I have a part one and a part two. And so this part one is going to focus on sort of the positive aspect of how a wise person communicates. Next time will be more focused on the negative side, but you're going to see as we do this that there's a lot of overlap between positive and negative, because you can't help but talking about one with the other. And yeah, we're going to be going fast through lots of different proverbs. I'll spend more time on other proverbs. So the first thing we're going to look at is that words reveal our hearts, that the heart is the source of our communication. So the first proverb I want to look to is Proverbs 16:23. You're free to turn there. And in Proverbs 16:23, we have this there. It says, "The heart of the wise instructs his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips." Notice there that it talks about the heart of the wise. And the heart of the wise is said to first instruct his mouth. It's the heart teaches the mouth how to speak. And then it adds that the heart of the wise adds persuasiveness to his lips. The persuasiveness is really the ability of the wise to convince. And there you see how it's the heart, the inner person of ourselves, that teaches our mouths how to speak. Another proverb, just that Proverb 23, 15 to 16. this proverb does basically the same thing, establishes a similar thing between a connection between the heart and our mouth. If you look at this proverb, it says, "My son," in verse 15, "if your heart is wise, my own heart will also be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right." Now, if you look carefully, this is the first line, my son, if your heart is wise, corresponds to the last line, when your lips speak what is right. And the middle two lines there, my own heart also will be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice, those go together as well. And so you see the line one and line four, if your heart is wise and your lips speak what is right, there's a connection made there between your heart and your lips, because they go together. Your lips reveal your heart, and your heart is shown through what your words are. And this is common in Proverbs. It helps us to understand Proverbs. When you interpret Proverbs, there's often parallelism between line A and line B. They say there's positive and there's negatives. There's ones that are line A and line B are similar, they say it in a different way, but they essentially say the same thing or a similar thing. Or you can have contrasting parallelism. And here, the idea here is if your son's heart is wise, his lips speak what is right, which is basically the same idea there, then he will be glad and rejoice. And all I wanted to point out with that is just how the heart and our lips are connected. And this is seen throughout Proverbs. We'll even look at other Proverbs as we go, at where the heart and the lips or the heart and the mouth are connected. And the reason is just because our hearts really do are revealed when we speak. And I had an illustration, which I never did do in Bible study, was it if you imagine having two jars and you open the lid of one and there's inside of the jar is something that smells really good. And so the lid, when it's opened, reveals that smell, and you can enjoy that. And if you have another jar, which you, when you open it, has a stench in there. And really, that's sort of, you know, the heart is, either our hearts, as it were, smell good. They give off the fragrance of Jesus Christ, or they can give off the fragrance of death. And the lips, the mouth, is like a lid. And when you open your lips to allow your words to come out, you reveal whatever is in your heart. And it is important to establish this because when we talk about communication, we have to first deal with the root of the problem, which is the heart. I saw a T-shirt the other day, which basically kind of went like this. It says, I got a good heart, but this mouth. And the idea there is, I'm a really good person, but my mouth, you know, it says dumb things, it says whatever. That is just simply not true. Not true from according to the Bible. Or you hear people who say, well, I said that, and I didn't really mean that, though. Well, most of the time, that's really not true. Your words reveal a lot about you, and you probably don't realize how close they are to what you really believe and where they even come from. So the first thing we really need a heart transplant. Our problem with our words and how we speak to other people is not so much our words. We don't need to fix that. It's a heart thing. And so the first problem we have is our heart. We need to fix it. And for those who aren't saved, they need a heart transplant. They need to be regenerated in order for them to fix their word problem. And for those of us who are Christians, we have a sanctification problem when we see our words. Our words reveal to us just our maturity as a Christian. It reveals how much we need to grow as Christians. It's not simply a matter of learning more self-control and hiding what's in our heart. We need to fix what's in our heart. We need God to transform us through the renewing of his word. And this kind of idea comes out again, and I just want to kind of go to a side topic here where it talks about the fear of the Lord and how that, you know, comes into Proverbs and then also deals with our words as well. And there, Proverbs 14:27 says this, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snare of death." Okay, so the focus I want here is the fear of the Lord and then the fountain of life, because we're going to track that fountain of life and fear of the Lord theme here. And we'll get back into communication, as you'll see. The fear of the Lord is really the central theme to Proverbs. The book starts off in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You can't have wisdom, you can't have true wisdom in any way until you fear the Lord. And to just briefly get into the fear of the Lord, really what the fear of the Lord is, it's a right view, a correct view of who God is. It's when a person senses the majesty, the holiness, the glory of God, and they realize in that view of that glory how sinful, how weak, how dependent they are. But it's more than that. It results, that understanding of who God is and ourselves it comes out in obedience and repentance and humility. And so when we fear God is basically to say what in the New Testament it talks about the gospel. To fear the Lord is really to believe the gospel. And so when we talk about the fear of the Lord brings is a fountain of life. Well, the fountain of life, I mean, you can imagine in Israel is a very dry country, and to have a spring welling up water continually all day long is a great, valuable blessing. It is a matter of life and death in that country, a matter of having enough to eat or not. And so the idea here is that the fear of the Lord, when a person fears the Lord, it's life to his soul. It's life, perpetual supply of life and health to his spiritual soul. And so just with that in mind, we go to another proverb, Proverbs 13, verse 14. And there it says, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, to turn aside from the snares of death." And so we see, well, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, and now we have the teaching of the wise person is a fountain of life. And it's a teaching that conforms to God's law, to his Torah, and it brings an abundant supply of life. A wise teacher of God's word who skillfully explains and applies it as a precious and life-giving gift. God works through his word. His word is what brings us life initially through regeneration, but he continues to work through his word and to sanctify us, to give us richer, more nourishing spiritual life. And when a wise teacher skillfully does that, he's a fountain of life. So one more here, Proverbs 10:11. It says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." So here we go. We have now the mouth of the wise person. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. And so it's similar to the previous one, but here it seems to just refer to all of his words. His words. The righteous man knows how to use his words to bring life and healing to in all he says to all the people he comes across with. And what you see in these couple of verses that I'm showing you is that the fear of the Lord is what begins the fountain of life. It brings life in the soul. And as the fear of the Lord brings life in the soul, then what happens is it inevitably will come out in our words so that the wise person will use his words to bring life and healing to wherever he goes and whatever he does. And so what we first need is God's to change us inside so that we can be bringing out God's word, God's truth to those people around us in order to do good. So at the very beginning, we just understand that with wise communication, the necessity is first to transform our hearts. This comes out in the New Testament, just one passage here, John 7:38. Jesus said here, "He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his inmost being shall flow rivers of living water." There again, it's just the sense of that the scripture, God will transform the fountainhead, our hearts, and from that fountainhead will just flow a stream of life-giving communication to other people. So, just to begin, that's where we need to start. And the next thing that we want to look at with Proverbs is the power of our words. And just even continue with that theme of a fountain of life, the wise person uses his words for good. He uses his words to bring life, to bring healing, to bring to be strengthened. But it's interesting, Proverbs 10 verse 11, it says, "The mouth of the wicked conceals violence." The wicked person will hide his violence, his hatred within his own heart. So the power of our words is seen again in Proverbs 15, verse 4. It says, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. A soothing tongue, it's the idea is a gentle tongue, a tongue that makes healthful. It's a tree of life, which is a theme that, or something that comes up in the course of the beginning of the Bible with the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Of course, it comes up in the end of Revelation in the new heavens and new earth. It talks about a tree of life. This is a similar idea to a fountain of life. It's the wise person uses his tongue to bring encouragement. It has depth. It has wisdom. It is compassionate. It brings consolation to people. It uplifts people. It does good. It seeks their highest best. To compare that to person who uses his tongue to crush the spirit. It's a spirit of despair. There's a contrast here. When you have a twisted heart, a twisted tongue, a false tongue, a false heart, people can use their words to crush people, to discourage them, to make them feel worthless. You can do an incredible amount of danger and damage with your tongue. You can damage a person's life. You can ruin them completely with how you speak. Another one that talks about the power of our words is Proverbs 18:21. It says there, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Now here's death and life are in the power of a tongue. This is something that Solomon would have, Solomon's writing Proverbs to his son. His son is supposed to be the next king. And as a king, one of the functions of a king was to be a judge. They had to decide cases. They were sort of like a Supreme Court where people would often come to them to appeal. And the king, with a word, could condemn somebody to death or set them free. And so, quite literally, with our words, we can condemn somebody and sentence them to death, or we can give them life. And we can just see there's an incredible amount of power with our words. We often kind of joke that sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. If you remember school, people used to say that, but this simply isn't true. People have been totally ruined by someone's hatred that is expressed in his words, and we need to be careful what we say and how we say it. One sentence, one word can hurt somebody for years, or we can do great good with our words. We can be a great encouragement to people. And so, not only are our words our words have great power, we also see that wise words are valuable. And Proverbs 10, verse 20 says this as well. It says there, the tongue of the righteous is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is worth little. And there you see the connection between contrast there between the tongue of the righteous and the heart of the wicked. Again, the connection between the tongue and the heart. And the righteous man, his words are choice silver. They're valuable. They're not just silver, they're choice silver, they're special, they're unique, they're rare. The heart of the wicked, however, his words that come out of his heart are worth little. They're of no value, or almost no value. Another one that says this, talks about the value of wise words, is Proverbs 20, verse 15. And there it talks about, in verse 15, there is gold and an abundance of jewels, but the lips of knowledge are a more precious thing. And so this here, gold is not really abundant. Jewels aren't that abundant, but compared to lips of knowledge, gold and jewels are an abundant supply in the world. The lips of knowledge are even a more rare thing than finding gold and finding jewels. That is to say, it's harder to find a wise man who speaks wisely than it is to find gold and to find jewels. And when you think about that, it's not hard to imagine. If you think of our country, how many millions of people we have, and then you think, well, how many Christians are there? Well, then you could find a percentage somewhere. And then when I think of that percentage of those Christians that actually are godly and mature and speak with wisdom, and you're thinking in the less than probably 1% kind of thing. And so we need to prize those who possess that kind of lips of knowledge. We also should seek to be somebody whose words are valuable. And we can do that by letting the scriptures permeate our lives and our thoughts and our actions, and so that as we absorb scripture as it is taught in our lives repeatedly, it sanctifies us and changes us so that when we speak the words of scripture, its truths in all that we do. The next thing Proverbs teaches us here is the beauty of wise words. Here in Proverbs 15:23, it says here, "A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word." And Proverbs 25:11, there it gives a similar proverb. It says, "Like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances." And both these proverbs together give us a sense of the beauty and the joy that comes when you get a right answer. You see, the wise person knows what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. There's an art to his communication in which he seeks to do the very best with his words. But when you have somebody who can give you the right answer at the right time, it's wonderful. It's joyful. It's how a man has joy in an apt answer. He is delighted in a timely word, in the right word for the right season. You know, maybe you could see somebody who's just, you can sense they're being discouraged, or maybe feeling despair of some kind, and you come in there with the right word at that time, and it lifts them up. And a wise person knows just when to do that. He knows just what to say. And when he does that, it's beautiful. It's also rare. When you look at the apples of gold in a setting of silver, it's a somewhat unclear picture there, metaphor. We're not precisely sure what is in reference, but I think it's fairly clear that we're looking at something that fits well together, that's beautiful. There's even a sense maybe that it's valuable, gold and silver. So the idea there is just, again, when you have the right word for the right time, it's beautiful, it's valuable. The next thing we want to look at is just that the wise person is slow to speak and quick to listen. And fools are quick to speak and slow to listen. So here we can see this in Proverbs 29, verse 20. Now, one of the non-inspired Proverbs that I remember holding to when I was in high school, I remember hearing it for that first time there. Not sure where, but it's a very simple one. It's haste makes waste, and really, the faster you do something, the more useless it is. It's if you make something quickly, it just doesn't last. It takes time to do something that's good. And actually, when you think of Proverbs, you go through Proverbs and you start to see all the Proverbs, and you understand the book. the Proverbs condemn haste in many ways. When it talks about our words, it talks about our work, a hasty man in his work. It talks about gaining money. All of those, and there's other things as well, too, that just condemn hastefulness, doing things quickly, doing things impulsively. And it's true with our words. It says in Proverbs 29:20, do you see a man who's hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Here you have somebody, if you see a person who's quick to speak, he's impulsive, he's always flying, everything that comes into his head, he's just letting out. There's more hope for a fool than that person. Well, so let's just say, so the fool is sort of at the, you know, we have different levels in Proverbs of fools. You have the fool and you have the scoffer, you have the naive person. The fool is sort of in the middle there, and his level of hope is, let's say, a 5. Well, let's go. The person who's hastening his words has even less hope than a fool for change, for blessing, and he's even lower than the fool. That's how dangerous it is and foolish it is to be quick in your words. And here in the positive Proverbs 15:28, and there gives the same kind of idea. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Just note again, the heart of the righteous versus the mouth of the wicked in there. The heart and the mouth are just inseparably connected throughout Proverbs. So the heart of the righteous, he ponders, he mulls it over just how to answer. You ask him a question, you ask him advice, and he doesn't answer immediately because he needs to think about it. He needs to come up with what's not just a smart answer, but he's thinking, the wise person thinks, just what is the wisest way I can answer this person? How can I give my words, do the very best for this person? He thinks about it. He considers it. The mouth of the wicked just pours out evil things. The idea there is literally just like a flowing stream. There's no restraint. It just flows out of his mouth. Again, same idea there. He just has no self-control. He just says whatever comes to the top of his head. And so there's no restraint, and all the evil that is in his heart just flows out, and everybody can see it for themselves. Just one thing to remember is that when we're talking about communication here, we're not just talking about speaking, although that's kind of the focus of this, but all of these things apply to when we write letters, when we write emails, when we post stuff on social media. Any kind of communication that we do, these principles apply. We can communicate non-verbally too. You can hurt somebody non-verbally just by, without even speaking. And all those things are condemned or are in this idea of communication, just to remind you of that. Another one about this, the importance of being slow to speak. Proverbs 18:13. It says there, he who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. So this is a person, he's listening to somebody, and before the other person's done, he gives his answer. He hasn't heard all that person has to say. The person isn't done, but he thinks he already knows what's going to happen. He knows what that person's going to say. There's a pride there. There's a selfishness, a lack of concern for the other person. He hasn't fully understood the whole situation, not interested so much in what the person says. Right away, he gives his answer. Maybe you've done that. I've done that. It's folly, it says there, and it's shame. There's two consequences to that. It's foolishness, and it's shameful to the person. There's lots of times where you if you give an answer before you've listened fully to the other person, you find out, oh no, actually that's not what they meant. They meant something totally different, and you just looked like a fool in front of them. And so the Proverbs again warn us about the importance of being slow to speak and quick to listen. And Proverbs gives us the benefits of such a self-controlled mouth. in Proverbs 10, verse 19. It says there, "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise." So when we are self-controlled in our words, it helps us to avoid sin. That's pretty understandable. And so if you restrain your lips, you're wise. Now, of course, what we need to understand about Proverbs, each individual proverb is like one piece of a pie. Okay, so you need to take all the proverbs together to get the complete picture of how life is. Each proverb only gives us one slice, one aspect. And so you could say, well, you could look at this one and go, well, this, if you're a person who just doesn't communicate much, you can go out, see, here, I shouldn't communicate much because then I avoid sin. Well, again, you need to see all the proverbs. There are some people who do need to speak more because they're not using their words as a tree of life, as healing, in a wise way. And there's some people who simply need to climb up a little bit more because they're just showing everybody how foolish they are and they're spreading their sin around. And so a wise person knows just the right amount of what to say. And when he does that, when you control your words, you do avoid sin. The other thing is that Proverbs teaches us, in two Proverbs here, that it protects us from a lot of difficulty in life, a lot of personal trouble. And you can see that in Proverbs 13:3 and then Proverbs 21:23. Says in 13:3, "The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." He who guards, Proverbs 21:23, it talks just similar kind of thing. "He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble." And so a person who can guard his mouth, who can control his words, who doesn't just speak impulsively, protects himself from a lot of trouble. You can think of trouble that comes with saying dumb things, foolish things, hurtful things. That brings a lot of trouble in all sorts of relationships, in friendships, in marriages, in parenting, in the church, at the job, and you can go on and on there. People get lawsuits because of foolish things said, defamation lawsuits. You could be ruined financially because of something you said. The list can go on and on. Foolish talking, foolish, sinful speech brings it consequences. And when we learn to control ourselves, we can avoid a lot of difficulty in our lives. And so the next thing we want to look at with how the wise control what they say and when. Two proverbs that seem to contradict each other, but we'll look at both of them here. In Proverbs 12, verse 23, it talks about, "A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly." And then Proverbs 15:7, "The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the heart of fools are not so." So notice here we have the prudent man, the wise man, he conceals knowledge. But then in the next one that we have here, the lips of the wise spread knowledge. And what it just teaches us here is that there's a time, the wise man knows when it is the time to refrain from speaking. Sometimes we need to not give our opinion, when we don't need to give our advice. We don't need to reveal wisdom or truth. In Jesus warns about casting pearls before swine. There's a time to not say something, to not reveal what you know, to hide something you've learned. And but a fool, he just chatters whatever. He never thinks about whether he should say this or not. You have the lips of the wise here spreading knowledge. The idea here is like wind spreading chaff. There's a sense of influence. There's a sense of expanse, like a far area. The lips of the wise spread knowledge. They teach wisdom. They broadcast understanding and truth. And so when you put them both together, it just, we learn, the wise person learns to conceal certain things and reveal other things, and they know when to do this and why they should do that. And so, the next thing I have here is just the wise control how they speak. In Proverbs 15:1-2, it talks about a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And so this proverb here, we have first two things contrasted, a gentle answer and a harsh word. We have two different kind of results of that. One turns away wrath, the other stirs up anger. It's interesting, the turns away wrath is sort of, the word wrath there is intense. The word anger in the next line there is less intense. And so what we have here is we have a person who's really angry, but somebody comes alongside and he or she would gently speak, give a gentle answer, just calm and soothing and the right kind of words, just, and it de-escalates the whole situation. That person who's just on really angry is now really, it has calmed down just because of how that person spoke, the words they used, and the fire, as it were, goes out. On the other hand, you here have a person who, you know, there's a stirs up anger. So there's a person who's a little bit agitated. They're starting to kind of get hot under the collar, and instead of that gentle word, you have a harsh word, and then boom, it lights that fire up. So, and you can have this where you have, you know, just in a communication, it can, you know, it starts where somebody says something, and it kind of gets them riled up, and they say something back, and instead of the other person kind of gently dealing with the situation, they up it by giving another insult or being hard on that person, then suddenly the conflict is now like blown up into like this massive fire, and now you've got a big deal on your hands, instead of where if you had just shown gentleness and used some wise words, it could have just gone and no conflict and no quarreling. And so it's important to realize, like, just notice the word gentle there. There's a sense of how you speak that is essential for our communication. And you can try this like at home to experiment. Find your dog if you have a dog. If you have a cat, I don't know if they respond to these kind of things. But a dog will. You know, you can talk to a dog and you can talk in gentle, loving tones and tell him he's such a rotten dog and you just don't love him and what a mongrel and you're going to send him to the pound. And just tell him it in the most beautiful, flowery words you can ever think of. And he will just wag his tail and love you because he doesn't know what you're saying, but he hears the tone of your voice and goes, this my master just loves me. And you could try this with your dog going, just tell him all sorts of insult, all sorts of good things, but in a hard way, hard voice. And your dog will just, he will cower and hide in the corner because he just thinks, my master doesn't love me. Because, again, all he hears is your tone. And some people can say stuff, and the tone of their voice just, you know, it's like fire to the, or gasoline to the fire. Just, and then you talk to them about it, and it's like, well, I didn't say that. I just said this, and well, yeah, it's how you said it. And so, again, the wise person knows what to say. He knows when to say it, but he knows how to say it. There's there's a wisdom in checking our tone when we speak. You can see just in 15 verse 2 as well, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. Just the idea again of making knowledge acceptable, making it pleasing to people, being able to skillfully communicate to others so that they embrace wisdom. And the fool has no skill, he just gushes out his folly. And you can see just the importance of this skill in another proverb, Proverbs 25, verse 15. And in that verse there, it talks about by forbearance, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bone. So here we have two things that are contrasted. We have a ruler, and we have a bone. We have a soft tongue there, and a soft tongue expressed in patience, as it were. So when a bone is a difficult object, it's a hard object, and the idea seems to be there, a soft, something soft and breaks something hard. Well, a ruler is a very proud person, especially as a king, you have unlimited power, there's pride there, there's self-importance. And so a bone and a ruler kind of are difficult, hard. If one is a difficult thing to break, both are difficult to break. And when we use gentleness, when we use patience, when we use a composed kind of communication, we can persuade other people. We can even persuade rulers to listen to us. And so the wise person, again, here is shown to be someone who can skillfully use words and use them in a way that convinces people of wisdom, of truth. You can even think of this application where, in witnessing, where you can tell somebody the gospel, but you can do it in a way, in your tone and the words you choose, that can just turn them off. And you can see that. I've seen that too. Different people where it just comes across as, you may say all the right things, but it comes across as condescending. The wise person knows that's not the way things are supposed to be said. So when we witness to people, we can use our words. We can speak the truth, but we speak it with love. We speak it with gentleness. We can skillfully communicate our words. And so when you look at all this, when you think about all that can go into communication, it's kind of overwhelming. I've taught this lesson before, and now I teach it again, and I spent a lot of time with it, and I think I taught it to my kids as well as we went through Proverbs, and I still can't get it right. I mean, it takes so much wisdom and understanding and to know when to speak, and to just know how to speak and the right words to speak. Especially you're dealing with all sorts of situations in life, and it reminds us how sinful we still are and how much we still need to learn. And you can understand where the psalmist in Psalm 141 verse 3 says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." So we saw previously that he who guards his mouth and tongue guards his soul from trouble. Well, here the psalmist is saying, "Lord, be the guard over my lips. Keep watch over the doors of my lips." And so, and we need to realize too that we do fail on this, and that also that our ability is not going to come from within ourselves, but it's going to come from asking God to help us to guard what comes out of our mouth. And as I said back before, it also, we're asking God to also transform us through the renewing of his word so that what comes out is going to be something that reflects our heart. And, you know, this all what we're saying here is also in the New Testament as well. The book of James is full of these kind of things about communication. And actually, this is sort of where we got, this is sort of, the next three Sunday schools, I'll be doing two of them on communication. And then Adam Pillage will be doing the next one, the last one on, not communication, but on learning to listen. And we get this, this comes out of the text, James 1, verse 19. It says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." And so we took that, and I was already doing things in communication, so I'm doing slow to speak, and Adam will be doing quick to listen. And so that's where we're going for the next Sunday schools. Ephesians 4, verse 29, really just echoes all of this. And it says there, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." Now this just sums up like everything we said in the New Testament. We have the idea of the right words, what's good for edification, even at the right time, what's for the need of the moment, and so it will give grace to those who hear. That's our goal. We want to do good with our words. We want to help people. We want to encourage people. We want to be a blessing to people. And so that's where I've ended here. Is there anyone with questions, thoughts, examples where you messed up? Yeah, it just brings another thought where you talk about anger and that's the willingness to retaliate, and that's sort of why we respond like the way we do. And in a sense, when we speak the words, those words of anger, we're sinning twice, right? There's the anger within us, that's already a sin, or whatever kind of sin that's already in the heart, whether it just be pride or whether we're just self-righteous. So it's all there. It's just boiling there, down in the heart. So it's already a sin there. But when we open our mouth, it's like we sin twice, because now we're letting out our sin and revealing all that sin to other people. And not just it'd be bad. It'd be one thing to just keep that within. At least nobody can see what you feel about them or hear what you feel about them. But when you actually let it out, now you've brought it into someone else's life and hurt them instead of just keeping it to yourself. But you still are sinning when you have it in your heart and not express it. So like you said, that's good to remind us of the importance of the heart and changing the heart and dealing with the heart sins before they come out of the mouth. So. Yeah, quick to repent. Yeah. Yeah. Because we can often justify, well, like people do all the time, where, well, I didn't mean that, or I really, you know, I love you, and I said something really dumb to you. But words like, you know, they did come from somewhere. And you need to acknowledge that they came from your heart. Confess it as a sin that was there before and that came out. And at the very least, if you realize you just showed a lack of self-control and not choosing the right words. But yeah, it's good. Thanks. Well, if that's it, and nobody wants to add anything else, then let's pray and we're done for today. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word here. We thank you that you have laid out to us What is wise communication? Lord, you speak perfectly all the time. You always speak truth, and you always speak what's best for people. And when we speak wisely, Lord, we simply reflect you. We also recognize, Lord, that we fail to do this frequently in our marriages, in our families, and amongst our friends, and even at this church here. We pray that you would help us to use our words well, to know the right thing to say, and to know when to say that thing or to not say it, to be slow to speak, to control ourselves in our speech. Help us, Lord, to say things in a right manner. Lord, ultimately, Lord, we ask that you would change our hearts, that you would we would be able to, with your power, put to death sin within us, and that your word would transform us inside, and that love would motivate our speech, and that, Lord, that you would be glorified as we speak, as you speak, in this world, in our families, in our jobs, and that we would do the greatest good for the people around us, Lord. We need you for this. We also need your forgiveness for all the times that we don't do what we are called to. And so we pray for your help, for your power by your Spirit to work in us. Bless this lesson, Lord. May it be nailed down into our hearts so that we don't forget it, and that we would glorify you through this. In Jesus' name, amen.